Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we discuss the best of Marvel's event with a few guest stars, and we also drink some beer. Welcome to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino. With me, as always, is Lucas Jones.
Hey, what's going on out there?
And Ryan DeMarco.
How you doing, you smelly piece of shit?
But we have special guests for the first time in ever. Two longtime friends of ours, Joe Kennedy.
Hello!
And Mike Vitale.
What's up?
So, perfect intro, Mike, as usual. The reason we brought you two on is so you can drink all of Lucas's beer and then leave. Actually, no. It's because Marvel kind of just rocked the entire internet, and we wanted to hear from you guys because you guys are longtime comic book fans, movie fans, and friends of ours, sadly. So, before we get into any of that, Lucas, I picked some beer. You're going to have to talk about it now, though.
Yeah, so you picked Magic Hat Snow Roller. I've never heard of this before, so I had to go check it out. And so it's a winter beer available October through January in 6-packs, 12-packs, variety packs, and on draft at your favorite local watering hole. It comes in at 6.2% alcohol by volume and 40 IBUs. And it's billed as a sort of a bitter brown ale. I don't know.
You'll know how to take it.
You know what? The thing is, I don't associate bitter with winter.
No.
I associate spice with winter. I associate stouts with winter. I don't associate hops with winter. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that, like, when I saw winter, I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then it was bitter.
It's not what you expect.
No, it was not what I expected.
Because, like, now I'm fully into, like, there was the Oktoberfest, and then now it's porters and stouts and milk stouts. And now, right. Now we get thrown this thing. And.
But I'm definitely picking up some caramel notes, which comes from some of the malted barley that they use. I think they use 120, caramel 60, and caramel 40. I'm going to cheat one second and go back to the website. Caramel 40 and caramel 120. And you know what? The caramel, I think, works really nicely as a brown ale. I'm getting a little bit of a bready aftertaste. Yes. Biscuit, I'd narrow it down to.
Toasted.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Well, Allie had like a sip like
Kennedy,
fucking.
Kennedy had a sip.
It's like a toasted biscuit right there, yeah.
Yeah, like a very bready, yeasty finish.
No doubt.
It's still there.
But, I guess I
do. Where are you?
I like it. I think it's really good. I don't know if I'd bill it as a winter beer. I'd bill it more as a fall beer, mostly because of the bitter hops. And because the malt bill isn't super strong, and super, like, dark, the hops become really noticeable. The bitterness is not overpowering, but it definitely takes precedent in the beer over any kind of brown ale, which I'm a huge fan of. Ryan, what'd you think?
It's not bad. I mean, at first I actually kind of hated it, and then I kind of got around to it because, like I said, I'm not really in the IPA mode anymore, so. But the caramel, to me, kind of saves it. Caramel kind of saves it for me, but you know, overall it's nice. It's different, you know.
It's crisp. It's clean.
Yeah. I mean, I like brown ales as it is, and IPAs, you know, I always drink, but it's a nice twist. So I mean, would I get it again? I'm not sure, but you know, as of right now, it's nice because it's nice. It's cold out too. Kind of warms you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So Mike, you are the resident brown ale drinker. You exclusively drink brown ales. So Heineken. What did you think of this hoppy brown?
Let the shit its pants over here.
I drink a lot of Newcastle. I'm gonna stick with Newcastle. I'm not gonna drink this stuff anymore.
What don't you like about it?
You know what? I don't like IPAs. I don't like bitter, really. This is bitter. This is not Newcastle. I'll stick with that.
Mike Vitale.
This is not Newcastle.
Simple words from a simple man.
It's tart in my mouth.
This is not Newcastle. You promised me Newcastle.
I guess we'll go with Kennedy. You had a sip.
Yeah. No, you're not... I'm not really much of a drinker of the alcohols as often as you guys, but when I do, I drink tequila. All right. let's see. Yeah, it was interesting. Definitely, as I said, the aftertaste is right there, but it's nothing terrible. Would I go out of my way to buy it? Probably not. But if it was there, you know, I'll definitely drink it, you know, nice and cold and everything. It's, I could definitely see how it warms you up.
Mm-hmm.
I got that vibe too. So yeah, I would, you know, if it's at a party or something like that, I'll definitely give it a drink, but
it's good for a nice winter night.
I think I was going to say the thing that it's kind of getting me is that I'm not tasting a brown ale.
I am. I'm getting tasting, you know,
like the problem is for me is that it's the hop bitterness and the biscuit finish are coming together to give me this really, really dry mouthfeel. Like this very dry, bitter, like I'm so thirsty right now. So I mean I guess this is one of those cases where if you like hoppy brown ales, like see the thing is I like Ubu Ale, which is a hoppy brown, but this is more hoppy and more biscuity than Ubu. Ubu I feel like is sweeter, closer to a brown. But if you like hoppy brown ales, if you like beers that are super, have a super bitter taste, I would go for this.
If you like
hoppy brown ales, I would give this a shot. I think what this comes down to is I'm not into it right now because I'm already switched into stout mode. Like I'm coming out of the Marzen Oktoberfest mode, going into stout mode, or, you know, I'm just not as big of a fan of the style as I thought I was. I think it's a good beer for the style. If you like hoppy browns, you know, then you'll probably like this. Which always makes it tough to give it a number rating if you're not a fan of the style, but it fits the style well. So, I mean, I would...
4.
Okay, Mike, what do you think? Mike says 4, which on the News Over Brew scale is slightly below average.
I was going to say, can I do my review, or...
Oh my god, I totally forgot. Yeah, Al actually bought... Al's the one that suggested the beer this week, and he also bought it. So yeah, Al, why don't you tell us what you thought of the beer?
Surprisingly, I'm actually in this podcast, which is kind of weird. But yeah, I picked up this beer because I'm a big fan of Magic Hat, and I saw the Christmassy-looking graphics on the bottle. I'm like, you know what? It's almost Christmas. And Mike knows I'm Captain Christmas, so I had to get it.
Jack Frost.
I'm Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
He slid down the chimney and brought my presents.
Yeah. So
I love doing the Guardians movie, not the good one, Guardians of the Galaxy, but the other Guardians movie that came out last year.
So yeah. I mean, it's not the best beer I've ever had, especially for Magic Hat, and it's definitely not Newcastle as Mike really wants it to be. But I mean, it is making me thirsty, but at the same time, it's perfect for this kind of weather. It's getting cold out now, and it's like I don't want to leave the house. I just kind of want to drink, and this is that kind of beer. So if we're gonna go back into the numbers, 6, decent, I guess.
Are we rating your life? Because I was thinking more like a 3 at the description, but
2.5.
So as far as I mean, so we have a 6 from Al and a 4 from Mike. Ryan, I mean, what are you thinking here?
I'd probably give it like a 6.5. It's something I would like. I respect it because it's like, you know, it's a different take on it. It's not bad. It's not my thing though, but you know, I can't knock that for.
I don't necessarily not like it. I would probably give it a 7 or 7.5 in the style, but objectively closer to like a 6 just because, you know, like I said, for whatever reason, I'm just not into it. But you know what I feel like? I feel like it's like the beer we deserve, but it's not the beer that we need right now.
No.
And I know that's a terrible segue because... We're talking about Marvel, and that was clearly a DC reference.
Oh, Batman's not Marvel?
And that's why completely getting kicked out of this entire podcast.
But yeah, so that's, I guess that would be the final word, is that it's pretty good, but it's not something we'd expect from a winter beer. I think from a winter beer, we're looking for something either a little darker and sweeter, or a little bit a little bit lighter, or in Mike's case, a little bit more like Newcastle.
Newcastle-y.
It's the Christopher Nolan of brown ale, not the Joffrey.
So as you can hear, Al, I'm having a hard time containing the giant nerd stuff that's happening here over the latest Marvel releases, which, per our pre-show briefing, is what we're going to talk about next. So why don't you
that's
lead us into that?
Spike right there. I'm sorry about that.
You are absolutely correct, Lucas, and thank you as always for that wonderful beer review. And I really feel bad that you have to deal with all of them in your basement right now. But yeah, let's segue right into this Marvel breakdown that we're going to be doing. So I have a few questions for you guys, but let's get some backstory of what actually happened. Marvel had a almost Apple-like event where they brought a bunch of, you know, blogs and, you know, websites and all this kind of stuff to, I forgot where, some hall or whatever. And
El Capitan.
Did not hear that, Kennedy.
It's the El Capitan Theater in LA.
Thank you. And that's why I have you here. So they brought them all there to pretty much announce pretty much a rebuttal to what DC had kind of released this entire slate of movies going all the way till 2020, you know, including Justice League and, you know, a reboot of Green Lantern, Cyborg for some reason.
Yeah.
So Marvel was like, okay, we'll top that. We'll make a whole big deal about it. We'll make an event. So they go there and they announce, you know, they officially announced Captain America 3, which is going to be Captain America Civil War, Thor 3, Thor Ragnarok.
But it was called the Serpent Society first,
yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, for like a few hours.
Yeah. They officially announced Black Panther and the character, the actor that will be playing him, along with Captain Marvel. And, you know, the big thing was Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, which will happen a year after each other. So all of these things have been announced. And this is just... must be like the best time to be a comic book fan. But before we get into any
except,
of that,
except if you're an X-Men, Spider-Man, or DC fan,
yes, they are excluded at the moment. So, but before we get into any of that, a few days before that, we got to see the leaked and then official footage from Avengers: Age of Ultron. Quickly, because we have a lot to cover. I want to know what each of you thought about the footage. We'll start with Kennedy.
You know, after the first Avengers trailer from the previous movie, you know, I'm obviously excited, but after that trailer, I was kind of, me and Vital were both kind of, we had our issues with the original trailer for Avengers 1. So seeing that trailer, it blew me away. It was a nice, breath of fresh air for, you know, a teaser trailer for the Avengers. It definitely, excelled where the previous movie failed in you know, showing off its goods. You got the tone of the movie, but we don't know where that tone ultimately going to lead. You have the Iron Man 3 trailers were very similar in their tone, very dark, very serious. I mean, almost Nolan-like, but you could still feel it had that little bit of a charm in it, but it just felt much darker than what we were used to, especially with the Avengers, you know, the previous year. But, and then we saw Captain America. That had, you know, very similar trailers too, and that ultimately was very dark.
Thor too,
but,
kind, I think.
Thor kind of did too.
The
but
dark
Iron Man
world.
3, we all know, was, you know, came out with a lot of humor in it. It was definitely a Shane Black movie. Had its good blend of humor that, you know, we're used to seeing in his movies. The Christmas theme. Now, we all have our issues with the movie when it comes to some of the plot elements, you know, but let's not talk about Iron Man 3.
Especially because I haven't seen Iron Man
3. 2 years ago.
That doesn't help either, yeah. So, but back to the trailer, though. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, everything I was looking for to a trailer for Avengers 3. I mean, I'm actually shocked as much as they've gotten done with the movie that, you know, usually a trailer for a movie that comes out in May, usually you would see that kind of stuff January, Super Bowl time, you know what I mean? That's usually, you can definitely tell Marvel's like, you know what? We can show this shit any time of the year, and, you know, people are going to be, we got to get people excited for it, you know what I mean? Like, right now, they have nothing else. I mean, they have Big Hero 6, but that's technically more Disney. But right now there's nothing really comic book related that's, you know, in theaters, so they can just take advantage of the buzz. And yeah, man, I'm pumped. It doesn't take much in a, you know, a movie trailer to get you pumped, because, you know, studios, they know how to really make these movies look decent. Yeah. Even some of these bad movies that we've seen over the years, you know, even some of those early Transformers trailers I remember were pretty cool looking, but we all know what that came to, so.
Very true.
Yeah. But overall, yeah, I'm pumped. We'll get more into detail about the trailer as we go, but my overall feel for it, it's 9 out of 10? 10 out of 10? I don't know, man. You don't see too many good trailers like this that, you know, I don't know.
What's a 10 out of 10 trailer?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying to think of a trailer that would be 10 out
of, you know, 10. What?
The second Avengers trailer.
Second Avengers trailer. The one Dark Knight trailer, the early trailers for Dark Knight Rises were pretty good.
The first two. Yeah. The second, yeah.
That really,
especially,
I mean,
the second one, Bane.
Yeah, me and Vital, as you know, you'll come to know, well, you know, we're you could probably get the vibe that, you know, I'm not a butt-loving, you know, Christopher Nolan fan. I love his movies when they're not Batman, for the most part. Inception is one of my favorite movies of all time, but the rest of the Nolan Batman movies, you know, I love Batman Begins. I love a lot of elements from Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, but yeah, I mean, that movie is just... Dark Knight Rises, most people would agree, is not up to the proper standards, beyond Bane.
Well, that would be...
I'm sorry, guys. Let's get back to what matters most at the time. So, but yeah, let's just be glad that the Marvel movies are not those kind of movies. I'll just keep it at that. But I guess we'll move on to other opinions.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you think? What do you think of the trailer?
I loved it. I mean, it really hit all the right notes. It came at like the right time, because... Yeah, like Joe said, like Joe touched on, like they have to like rev up the whole comic book audience, because like the winter really is like the downtime for comic movies. But
which is something you're gonna see a lot from them in the next few years, especially when they get to the point where they're gonna be three movies
exactly.
a year.
Yeah,
they're gonna be in
the next
news
few years
all year long.
Next few years is gonna be really jam packed. But like I like the tone of it. It seems. I think a lot of people might have been worried too, like that they're gonna be overcrowding this movie with like more people, and like the trailer kind of, even though you didn't see a whole
Spider-Man
lot,
movies.
Yeah, you didn't see a whole lot, but I think it kind of showed like it's gonna show a good balance. It really, like you said, the studios really like know how to like hit the right notes, like the Iron Man Hulkbuster outfit with the Hulk briefly showing, you know, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
The different forms of Ultron.
It's interesting they haven't shown any Vision.
No, they have not shown Vision.
Probably not done yet.
Yeah. Well,
no. But I don't think they'll show too much. It'll probably be like the Hulk in the first Avengers. They barely showed any footage of him. But
yeah,
true.
It's a good balance of, like, I'll give it to you this way. When I first saw it, I was pissed because I didn't see enough. Like, they barely gave you anything, but they gave you enough with the first trailer. It was, I really can't find too much that's wrong with it. It was a really good trailer. I watched it six or seven times, I think.
I watched it about like 30 times.
Yeah.
It's bad, but it's you know, deserving of my
Yeah,
eyes.
I mean, just saying it because it's an Avengers trailer, like, you know. But it's a well-made trailer. It's going to be a well-made movie. It's probably going to be one of the best franchises we'll ever see, honestly.
Yeah. Right. As I said to Vital plenty of times, when have you seen a movie that's gone... A franchise that's more than three movies that have stayed this consistently good.
None. Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Blade. Blade. Okay, so the Avengers has to beat the Blade series, the Blade trilogy first. I think it's done that already. All right, anyway, so I liked it. I agree with Joe. It was near perfect.
Yeah.
Just wasn't long enough.
It did its point. It got us excited back to the Team Avengers.
It does what the first trailer is supposed to do. It kind of gives you like a little tease. The second one goes more in depth, obviously, but...
Right. It just keeps the train going, because we've already had a great year in Marvel movies. I mean, Winter Soldier was awesome.
Let's just accept it. Yeah. Marvel is just...
They know what they're doing. They know how to get that perfect blend of comedy... and action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a story you care about. I mean, so it's a story. A lot of these stories have been, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, story's nothing.
It's a basic story.
There's nothing, you know, crazy about it. But it's the characters. Mm-hmm. You could tell the people working on it care about these characters. The actors, you could tell even they care about these characters.
Even the voices,
and, yeah. Vin Diesel, I mean, he loved playing Groot. And I'm sure even Bradley Cooper loved playing Rocket. And, you know, it's a good paycheck, too, I'm sure. Well, it's Marvel, so I don't know how great of a paycheck you're not Robert Downey Jr. But beside the point, it's just, you know, it's a great time to be a fan of comics.
We'll move into
specifically
that, though,
Marvel, yeah. Marvel
we'll
comics.
We'll definitely segue into that later.
Yeah, so
that's actually a question of mine later. But let's go into Mike, who's usually the most negative person I've ever met in my entire life. We either full-heartedly agree or disagree in such a way that has led to arguments that have almost gone into fights. Mike.
I love it.
Mike, what did you think of the Age of Ultron trailer?
It was good.
Hey, that's my line.
No, like everybody said, obviously it was really good. Yeah, it gets me excited because, like Kennedy said, the first trailer for the first Avengers, I was like,
the music.
Oh, they had
Nine Inch Nails. Yeah, like that.
Was it Nine Inch Nails?
Like,
and the cops, it's Avengers and there's cops running around shooting.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, it fell into the trap of every freaking movie. But
Nine Inch Nails.
But if you look at the drastic improvement with the second trailer, specifically when Hulk catches Iron Man and I break down in tears of how cool it is. Yeah, I can't wait for the second one because it's probably going to be mind-blowing. And even this one just shows, like, how much of a bigger scope they're going for. And, yeah.
Yeah, like,
Hulkbuster.
The first Avengers was just kind of, like, bringing the team together. Yeah. Now they can expand this universe. You know, they've introduced the core team. You know what I mean? Now they can just,
they got them together. Now they can develop the characters together.
Yeah.
Right. This
not apart, other ones were, like you know, the solo movies are, but now that they're together and they've been together, they know each other, and, you know, like they did in the trailer, I think Thor choked out Iron Man or some shit like that. But so obviously there's tension between them, and,
which,
you know, if everything's happy-go-lucky, it's not really too interesting.
Yeah, well, Whedon said when he was making the first one, he's like, none of these characters should be together. They really shouldn't, because they're all, you know, they're all, like, not only to themselves, but, you know, especially Robert Downey Jr., he only cares about himself, you know, Tony Stark. So, now that you have these characters together, they've made a team, the second movie should be, how do you keep them together? Because, obviously, you're seeing them fight still. They're still.
Yeah, they're, right.
Has to be tension. So.
Yeah, if it's just them fighting Ultron, then who gives a shit? I mean, yeah, it's cool, but, like, I don't know. You can't make a 2-hour movie about, we got to attack these robots. And,
it becomes Transformers.
Yeah,
we don't,
exactly.
We obviously don't want Transformers.
Exactly.
We want a reason these characters are fighting. We want to, you know, when Coulson died in the first movie, well, we all know he didn't die, but, spoiler alert. you know, you kind of, it hits you because you're like, oh, you know, this guy's been in this series for, you know, a while, and, you know, granted, he's not one of the main characters, but it just you know, shows you how well this universe is done at creating this, you know, lineup of characters that you just care about. You know what I mean? That's what matters.
If there's nothing at stake, then you're just gonna be like, that's cool.
And
you hope it looks good, and then you're like, that looks good, but we're good as shit. And,
right, you know. Right, yeah.
The thing is, too, you know that Joss Whedon's doing it. You know it's gonna be you're so faithful of him, you know he's gonna do a good job. You know, it's not gonna be like,
yeah,
oh man, Brett Ratner's doing the second Avengers,
and then, you know, we kill ourselves.
Yeah, and then the Hulk has, like, I don't know, he does, like, so much stupid shit with all of his movies.
Oh, I'm the Hulk, bitch.
Yeah, he literally know that he's the best guy. He's the best guy to do a movie of this scale for.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see an Avengers movie that he doesn't make.
Yeah, I mean, the rumors are that the Russo brothers are the front runners to do Avengers 3 parts 2, 1, and 2. Oh, that's awesome. That's the rumor, and I'm down with that after Winter Soldier. But the same time,
they still got to make Captain America 3.
Yeah, they got a lot of work on their head.
Right into freaking,
yeah, and yeah. It's one thing to do a Captain America movie. You can stand alone. You got a straight up story. You can work with one character. It's another thing to be able to work with all these characters, all these egos, all these, you know, mm-hmm. mindsets, especially at the events of what's going to happen in this movie and what looks like, you know, in Civil War. Will they be able to, you know, tap into that, you know, and really make a solid character piece at the same time as a great action movie? You know what I mean? Like, they've definitely proven that they're possibly in that zone, but we got to see it, you know, on the big scale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Captain America, you know, they had a lot of characters in it, like I think Black Widow and Nick Fury and them, but they're all kind of
Falcon,
but they're all like agents, you know, they're all kind of like the same motivation.
And in the grand scheme of things, they're like C-list characters. Yeah. I mean, you know, Falcon's obviously a big now in the comics because now he is Captain America, but yeah, you know, Black Widow's always kind of been a major character because she's the, you know, one of the female major members of the Marvel family.
Which is, what does Kennedy always say?
What's that?
You gotta tap into what audience?
Oh, yeah. What did I say? What was that?
To be successful, you gotta tap into
the female audience. Yeah, oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look at the highest grossing movies of all time, they all tapped into female crowds. Yeah. I mean, you know, Avatar, I think that was just because it was an event thing, I guess, but, you know.
I think we're moving away. All right. back to Lucas and Al, what was your opinion?
You're right. So, well, Kennedy mentioned the Russo brothers. They're going to get their first test. I mean, they already had their first test. They're going to get their second test, and if they can make Captain America Civil War, let's just talk about one of the biggest events in Marvel Comics is going to be on the big screen in some form. And not only that, you're going to have Iron Man and Captain America in the same movie together, which also introduces Black Panther. So that is going to be, if they can make that successful, they can definitely do the Avengers film. So that's definitely my opinion on that one. But
are we moving towards Civil War now?
No, we're moving on to, in your opinion, what do you think was the highlight of the Marvel event? Like, what was the one thing that you heard and you were like, yes, finally?
Captain Marvel for me.
Really?
I mean, there was a lot of stuff, but Captain Marvel, just I've become a fan of her in the comics. And when I think about her powers and everything are what made Rogue one of my favorite characters in the X-Men back in the 90s. Her powers are Ms. Marvel at the time's powers. And so I always had that kind of, you know, oh yeah, I'm down with the Captain Marvel, you know, female lead that's kind of just...
And a different kind of movie, too.
Cosmic, but at the same time, it's everything that the Green Lantern, you know, based on her origins, everything the Green Lantern movie should have been. I mean, obviously, I'm looking forward to Black Panther. It'd be great to hear that they're doing that because, you know, he's an important character, especially with the story they're building for this Age of Ultron with the, you know, vibranium and all that stuff. It definitely makes sense that they're going to, you know, go his route, you know, now. I'm glad they're finally, you know, people are going to say, oh, they're just, you know, countering what, you know, DC did with Wonder Woman, Cyborg, you know, oh, we're going to have the first female, you know, blah, 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 and black, you know, characters in our movies, but... You know, that to me, that doesn't matter. Because what matters is if you make a good movie out of these characters. You know, let's be honest. Wonder Woman's probably going to have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But let's, beyond that, I mean, Captain Marvel, knowing Marvel, I'm confident. I'm confident that it's going to be at least a decent movie. I mean, obviously, it's going to come down to who they get to direct, who they're going to get the screenwrite, who they're going to cast as Captain Marvel. I mean, it's an important thing to do. But yeah, for me, that's the one I kind of was most pumped about, you know, hearing that they're finally going ahead and doing it. I mean, not to mention, you know, all the others, but yeah, definitely Captain Marvel for me.
Everyone said that Emily Blunt is going to be Captain Marvel, and I'm completely okay with that.
I'm fine with it. I didn't watch all of Tom Cruise movie?
Edge of Tomorrow. Edge
of Tomorrow. Edge of
Tomorrow.
She seemed pretty good. I mean, she definitely can show that she's able to do action roles. I know a lot of people have been talking Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. She's one of the more front runners because of her Battlestar Galactica. She might be
too old at this point.
She might be. I know she's one of Joss Whedon's go-to girls, and he actually posted a Photoshop picture of her. So there's that. But that means nothing when, you know, the Marvel execs are looking at, you know, paying the damn person, you know what I mean? So it's their decision in the end. But yeah, I mean, she's in a, you know, smaller actress. She's not anything. She hasn't been anything really huge other than Battlestar Galactica. Been a few movies here and there, but she'd be cheap to get. Mm-hmm. But if they want to get somebody who's a big name, you know, Emily Blunt, she's kind of on the rise, I guess, but she's definitely not A-list by any means. And it doesn't really, you know, She's not Scarlett Johansson, you know what I mean? Getting Scarlett Johansson, even back when Iron Man 2 first came out, she was on the rise, one of the biggest.
Prime,
yeah, man. Right. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, any way they go, you know, obviously that's who they get is going to be important, but, you know, the director and, you know, the story is what matters most. And
very true.
It's going to be interesting to see where they go with that. But, you know, we'll go on to what Vitale and Ryan's and, you know, everybody else's thoughts. Yes.
Yeah. Ryan, what was your highlight?
Your turn. Go with Mike first.
All right, Mike, what was your highlight since Ryan doesn't have one?
I would say my highlight is seeing how they announced, you know, Doctor Strange, Inhumans, and Miss Marvel, how they're just willing to use everybody that they have at their disposal.
Yeah, they're
and
not
every character, and they're right. Just willing to go to every corner of the Marvel universe and expand and really. You know, I mean, you could say the Marvel Universe with Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man, and Hulk, and them, but that's not really, that's like it's a team, not a time bomb. No, it's a team, but they're actually expanding. Now it feels like a universe rather than just like, you know, a couple guys.
Right.
You know, Guardians of the Galaxy was new, but it wasn't like.
Nobody knew about it.
They're also away from whatever and still back to the core team, but now they're really expanding to like.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're willing to take risks, and that's cool because,
yeah,
that's new and exciting. And
Mike, if they mentioned like a decade ago, which, I mean, we were like, 10 years ago, we were 13, 14. If someone told you when you were 13, they're gonna make an Ant-Man movie, what would you have said?
Oh, I forgot about it. I forgot they were making.
Yeah, Ant-Man's kind of just under the radar right now.
I mean, come on.
I probably think it's stupid.
Yeah, but now you're like, all right, Marvel's doing it, so it's going
to
be awesome.
I guess, I mean, I can't wait to see what the after credit day is.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so, it's going to lead somewhere else.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that because DC announced Suicide Squad, that Marvel didn't announce Thunderbolts, but that's just me.
Yeah, Thunderbolts were see,
they're definitely major in the comics right now. Yeah. They're definitely pushing because they're like an all-star team.
And mm-hmm. they haven't done a villain team-up yet. So to have just a
well, I mean, technically the team right now isn't really they're like I want to say they're villains, they're anti-heroes now. I mean, you got Punisher, Venom was part of the team, Deadpool, Elektra, Red Hulk. I mean, I hope they never go down the Red Hulk route in the movies.
God hope not.
But the core of the other team, you know, I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, Thunderbolt Ross, you know, as he is,
yeah, being the leader.
Yeah. Yes, well, yeah, we were talking about the other night, and yeah, where the hell he's been since Incredible Hulk? I mean, who knows? But yeah, you're right. I mean, that is kind of, and they could probably do that. That could be the other 2019 movie. I mean, right now the only 2019 movie they announced was Avengers 3.
Oh wait,
part 2.
There's more movies they didn't announce.
Well, they that's pretty much the end of Phase 3. They didn't say anything about Phase 4 yet. So.
Oh.
Thunderbolts might be a Phase 4 movie, you know, like one of the early Phase 4 movies. And, you know, obviously we're probably going to see, if it's good, Captain Marvel 2,
yeah,
Black Panther 2. I mean, we're looking at, you know, all these characters now. They're on their, you know, all these actors. Yeah, I mean, with these actors now, with these contracts, you know, kind of ending soon, you know, how are they going to do, you know, some of these characters? You know, Avengers 4, like, you know, whatever that happens. You know, God, I'm going to be 18.
You mean 5, because they're making 3 and 4.
Well, that's true. Yeah, well, 3 is... Splendid
too. Well, I kind of like how they're not numbering the movies.
That's so good too. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Except Iron Man.
Because
I'm
like
a fan that's just
in
Iron
like
Man
five in like, you know, 2025 when there's Avengers 6, everyone's gonna be like, oh god, one, you know, without numbering it can still feel fresh a little bit.
That's true. So Ryan, what about you? What was your highlight? Do you have one yet, or do we have to stick again?
If I had to pick one, I'd probably say just the fact that. You know, obviously everything was confirmed. But just the idea of them doing the Infinity Gauntlet,
mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. It's just the idea of us, of how far that like Marvel has gotten. Like we're seeing, like first we saw a competent, really good Iron Man movie. Now we're gonna be seeing this gigantic war, pretty much. Yeah, this whole infinity thing with like, you know, the six rings or stones.
It's like, where do they go after?
Yeah,
that?
It just ended. It's just this whole thing like comes to like a completion of like, you know, from the very beginning of the whole Marvel cinema. It's just the idea like of this whole thing coming together. It's gonna be this massive event. It's not even gonna be a movie. It's gonna be an event, and
yes.
It's just gonna change movies. I think it already has, but it's just gonna be like this.
Oh yeah,
it's just gonna be absolutely tremendous, yeah. And I can't imagine how they're gonna pull it off. And I do not even want to like be responsible for like this at all. But like, just
you won't be, Ryan.
Just yeah, I will be behind it all the way. No,
Ryan DeMarco, my pick for directing fucking Captain Marvel.
I'll kill myself the first day of film. Just the idea that
hot off the sequel, hot off Stray Dogs in the sequel, going for good. Comes Ryan DeMarco with
Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh my god!
I can't even imagine how this is gonna. It's gonna be like. I don't use this word ever, but it's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be like it's just gonna be perfect, and it's gonna be something that,
and it's something that seems so daunting. Like we thought at the beginning of Iron Man when you saw Nick Fury at the end, like all the
Nick
like,
Fury's,
you're just like, how the fuck are they gonna do this? You know what I mean? And now we're thinking, how the hell are they gonna do Thanos? And they have, done it.
They're
so
on
far.
The cusp of doing something like that no one's ever done before,
right.
And no one probably will ever come close to doing it again for a long time.
Yeah. And even if they try, it won't be like it won't be new, and it won't be like this. So it's kind of a special thing.
All in all, Infinity Gauntlet, Avengers 3 and 4, that is my most anticipated event in the next probably 5 years, including having a family, getting a job. Avengers Infinity Gauntlet right there.
First of all, we know none of that's happening.
That's not happening, yeah. If I'm still alive in 5 years.
Yeah, I'm so pumped. It just, you know.
Now that Marvel has,
what do you think?
I'm sorry for cutting you guys off, but now that Marvel has previously announced that they're going to be making series on Netflix, Daredevil, Iron Fist, and then eventually a Defenders series that are all going to be in the same universe as comic book fans, how does it feel to see the actual Marvel universe as a whole, like, come alive?
It's crazy. I mean, it's like, and to think like this is only part of the Marvel universe, you know, like Spider-Man and X-Men and it's just like, you think about it, it's just like
almost the biggest chunk.
Yeah, and they still got. I mean, the characters they actually own the rights to. I mean, we talked about the Thunderbolts, but there's Blade. They have the rights to Blade back.
Ghost Rider,
mm-hmm. Punisher. You know, there are a lot of characters to tap into. Now, granted, they're a little darker. They might not fit into the cinematic universe that they've built so far, but I think they can make it work. I mean, you know, I think if you look at the dark tones of Captain America, Winter Soldier, you know, I think you can out of that come up with a decently, you know, Punisher movie that's violent, but, you know, hits the right marks, but doesn't, you know,
not overly.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, you know, it's tough to say if you could do a Punisher movie that's not rated R.
That's like
doing a Deadpool movie that's
even
not
like
R.
I like the the fuck that guy's name, Thomas Jane Punisher,
yeah.
But that was too light for Punisher.
Oh, no doubt.
The second
John Travolta
with race. Yeah.
Ray Stevenson.
Would say anything. with Adele Dazeem. Even with the second one with Ray Stevenson, even though it wasn't like maybe people thought it was like great.
I don't think
it was good though.
It hit the right tone. It wasn't
well
made though.
Yeah, had the right action and how Punisher is supposed to be.
Right, exactly.
If they combined those,
the Thomas Jane
movies,
one was
a better
Punisher movie trying to be for the mainstream.
Yeah,
it's kind of like what Marvel would probably try to do. I'm sure it would be better. They want to cast John Travolta as your villain. John Travolta from the 2000s as your villain.
I know, we need
90s John Travolta. That's a different story. But face off, anybody? but yeah, I mean, you know, besides Punisher, I mean, you know, you got, you know, Blade Did you read that? The thing about the, that Wesley Snipes, he'd be up for it again?
Yeah.
I'd be up for it, too.
I, to be honest with you, I would, too. He looks great for his age. He's freaking in Expendables 3. He looks phenomenal.
I just want to see another one.
Yeah, he was, like, for a while, the best cast comic book hero.
He was.
Really?
No, yeah.
And he's actually one up
like,
there.
Like, who really, like, even, like, you look at the guys right now, like, Idris Elba, but he's already in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know what I mean? Heimdall.
That didn't stop Chris Evans, which is kind of a
fucking, you know, missed opportunity there because he could definitely do a lot bigger roles.
True.
Yeah.
Little Heimdall. I mean, you know,
appear for 10 minutes
in the Thor movies.
I mean,
you know,
it didn't stop Chris Evans.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't really hear it too well, Al.
Sorry. It didn't stop Chris Evans.
Yeah. That's different because that was Fox going over to
that's
Marvel
like
proper.
I just ended up doing Heimdall or Heimdall and then going over to play the
yeah. I mean, he can get away with it in some conditions, you know, because he does have a lot of makeup on and, you know, to get the contacts in as Heimdall, but we'll know. Yeah, but you know, he's a guy I would say would be up there, but you know, I mean, this the guy they got for Black Panther. What's his name?
Chadford something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So, I mean, you know, he's another young up-and-coming black actor. But, you know, as long as it's not Jaden Smith, I'll be happy. Well, he's up for Static Shock. Oh, DC, stop it.
I'd be happy with Snipes coming back, because Snipes was
great. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Oh, he loves the role, obviously. I mean, yeah. That's like, you know, he has a lot of fun with it, as long as he's not, you know, starring with fucking... Jessica Biel and
Ryan Reynolds
being directed by David S. Goyer, whatever. Yeah.
He was a nice guy.
What else?
Blade 3. I don't like
I guess it's enjoyable.
It's like one of the.
It's good to see Ryan Reynolds like being Deadpool almost.
It's like the best trilogy for a while.
Yeah.
Actually, comments. For a while, held together.
Yeah. And then you got. I think you got Ghost Rider. I mean, you know, but we're getting off track because we wanted to stick to the TV show, the Defenders characters. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it you know, they're taking their more the B list characters. I guess you can say some cases C list because you know, they're kind of
comics a lot now. They're not too
And even then they were part of the Avengers like back during
the last like 10 years.
They've kind of put them back away. I think they're part of the Defenders now in the comics.
But we know nobody really reads.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Which is, especially the Fantastic Four comics.
If people really are now after the movies picking them up, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's pricing. It's just
they're kind of expensive.
For what they are, if they had like a deal where you can get like pay like $20, you can get like
all of them.
I guess they do kind of have that. I don't get my comics in the most legal ways.
I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know who's buying comics. I'm not too in touch with reality anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I keep up with them. I keep up with the main series. I keep up my X-Men. I keep up my Avengers. And anything that looks interesting, any of the main crossover storylines, I'll read. But, I mean, you know, the Marvel Universe is so big, and this has so many great characters. Just, you know, I'm just glad that at the time when Marvel, you know, licensed out a lot of their characters to Fox and Sony that... You know, they were able to retain a lot of these characters. You know what I mean?
Them all.
Yeah, imagine if they gave away the Avengers to Fox back in the day.
Oh my God.
Holy
God. Oh man. Yeah, we would have nothing to live for.
Yeah. No. I mean, I say that Fox is at least, they're showing actually attempting to create competent movies, as I said before, but it's just not what we're wanting. You know, it's not, they're not at their core comic book movies. They're
no.
Decent movies starring comic book characters. They're basically what the Dark Knight trilogy is.
Lucas is twiddling his fingers as he's sitting for like 40
minutes.
He's
just relaxing, just listening
Al,
to us.
Al, did you have anything to ask Lucas? Get him in this a little bit.
Lucas, can you go get me a beer while I ask these guys a question? No, I have nothing for Lucas. I mean, if he wants to chime in, he absolutely can. But
I mean,
he isn't caught up, and that's his own damn fault.
We can fix that.
Yes. So
he doesn't have to go to the theaters when he's with me.
You know, with its impressive cast and phenomenal direction, Guardians of the Galaxy was a runaway hit. You know, no one really expected it. Everyone thought it was Marvel's biggest gamble, but it turned out to be the third highest grossing Marvel movie. So do you believe Marvel can strike gold again with new properties like Captain Marvel?
Talking tree.
You know, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, and, you know, no one no one knows who the Inhumans are. If you really like, I mean, there's the diehard. Yeah, that's probably the farthest
out of all of them.
No doubt, no doubt.
But you think they can do it again?
People are saying like, oh, Doctor Strange is like the rich one.
Inhumans is definitely
Inhumans. Especially if they get Cumberbatch, it's not going to be. But Inhumans, yeah. I mean, the rumors are Vin Diesel is going to be playing
Black Bolt,
which is cool.
So cool.
But he doesn't going to say anything.
People. Again,
he's not gonna another role where he's not going to say anything.
I guess somebody could use double.
Yeah, they'll probably have like him like from his thinking. Yeah. You know, when he's. But yeah, but besides that, yeah, I know
Yeah, Doctor Strange really isn't. Black Panther definitely isn't, because that's what everybody's, I think, been asking for.
Yeah, but
that's not really
hardcore
a gamble.
Fans.
I think that's.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's what you know. Everyone, but I think like right now, as long as it says from Marvel, from the guys that brought you Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, Iron Man, Captain America, people are gonna want to watch it.
From the guys
if
who
it's
brought
a good
you
movie,
every favorite movie you've ever had.
What's that?
From the guys who brought you every favorite movie you've ever had.
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, I mean, if the movies are bad, they'll do good in the first weekend and then they'll trail off. That could happen. But they haven't made a bad movie.
They're not all the best, but
they're just solid movies.
You just walk out, you're like, and you don't want to keep going with the story.
Right.
You don't,
there hasn't been a Marvel movie where I came out of, except for maybe Iron Man 3, where I came out like, oh, no.
That was just because it looked so good. Like,
yeah, that was just a disappointment.
I personally disagree with you guys on Iron Man 3. I loved Iron Man 3.
I love Iron Man 3 too, but it's just
I think Iron Man
the things
the
that
worst.
Kind of annoyed me about, you know, in hindsight, you know, when you come out of the theater, it's just like, damn it, did they really do that? And not the Mandarin. I was fine with Mandarin.
No, it was cool.
It was the Pepper Potts moment at the end that kind of that mean Vitale can't.
Why?
I don't think we can ever get over that. Why are you doing that to me?
Why?
You know, aside that's it's just, you know. I'm excited. I'm excited that they're gonna be able to get these B characters like Black Panther and make them A-list characters.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't remember that
Iron Man
was
one of them. It wasn't too popular.
It was Hulk. Hulk was the Avenger that people knew. You know, maybe Captain America. But after these movies, everybody knows who Thor is. Everybody knows who, you know,
Iron Man's
Black
the biggest
Widow,
one.
Hulk, maybe Hong Kong, to some extent. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. And they've been able to do this without, before all this, their biggest character being owned by them, Sony. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is, and still is, their biggest single character. Mm-hmm. And they're still, like, could you imagine if they actually had Spider-Man? These movies would be fucking unreal.
It would make $1 billion.
$1 trillion?
It's one of the big shames, you know. Yeah. But
I wish they could work something out, because that would be phenomenal. Yeah.
They might. I mean, I think
they
rumors,
probably
right?
will now, because
yeah.
now that Spider-Man is like not
done,
he's like not holding up his own anymore. So now they got to do something to like
bring
him back.
Spider-Man during the early 2000s, he was
the superhero.
What we wanted. It was a precursor to what we got now.
Yep.
But now him by himself doing his thing, knowing that it's not going to lead to anything, that he's not part of this big universe of great characters around him. It's not interesting anymore.
It's going to lead to reboot after reboot that does progressively worse.
Yeah.
So Sony might think, hey, you know, if we split this with Marvel, you know, and we get some of the pie.
Yeah,
might
get
do
some of the
pie.
Let them
overall.
Take over the production.
That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem. That's, how
do
they
in
work
the end,
out
that's
who gets
all we
what?
Want. Obviously, we all want Marvel to take full control, but, you know, whatever. I don't know. What they've been able to do with such minor characters just does not give me any concern about these other minor characters, you know, exploding on the same level that, you know, Guardians and you know, Iron Man and all them.
I mean, it looks like a risk, but it's not really a risk, I don't think, anymore.
Yeah. I mean, well, who knows? In 5 years, we might be like, well, fucking Avengers 3 was terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Especially if Joss Whedon doesn't come back for it, you know, who knows?
You never know what could happen then.
And, you know, Inhumans might look like something. And, you know, things change. I mean, right now, Vin Diesel's up for the Black Bolt role, but, you know, who knows? You know, he
could be Black Bolt.
He could follow on the Paul Walker route.
If you're out there, Marvel, I'm looking to break out. All
right, so I'm actually going to throw a question. I'm going to throw a question to Lucas.
But it just shows how far Marvel's come because, all right, you think about it, you know, Phase 2 had Guardians, which was out there, and then it has
Ant-Man, which is the end of Phase 2, but that's after Age of Ultron, so it's not really... You're almost guaranteed it's, people to see that.
Yeah.
In Phase 3, you've only got two of the core heroes and three new heroes, which just shows that they're like, fuck it, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
We'll do good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they can make a fucking movie out of Squirrel Girl, and people will go see that. And Squirrel Girl's whatever.
I'd see it.
Yeah. As I said, like I'm looking at the list here, and it's just, yeah, there's nothing here that, yeah, I mean, there's always a threat that it could be bad, no doubt. I mean, you don't have to be announced on the directors. I mean, they might get, you know, some
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau, you know. We don't know how cheap Marvel can get, and let's be honest.
Well, he did demand $6 million for the room.
But. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean... They got some guys here that are, you know, they're key guys. You know, James Gunn has turned into one of their main guys.
Yeah, the Russo brothers.
The Russo brothers.
I mean, we joke about Marvel being cheap, but they can't be terrible if everyone just keeps going back to do the movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, they sign these big-ass contracts, but you know what? You don't sign these big-ass contracts if you know you're not going to, you know, it's going to – look, because you look at these guys. They sign these contracts. Look at oh my God, Thor!
Chris Hemsworth.
Look at his career since being in Thor.
Oh yeah,
he's made more money from all the movies he's made outside the Thor movies and the Avengers movies. Yeah. You know, what I mean, like his career.
Don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Chris Evans, he's kind of got a career. There's nothing.
He's got that Snowpiercer.
Yeah, Snowpiercer. The Korean movie. But yeah, he's. He can be a guy to, you know, can get a role. If, you know,
yeah, he could be. He never really looked like he had trouble getting roles.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking guy. He's a decent actor.
Charismatic.
He's charismatic, and I mean, and then you look at frickin' what's his name from Guardians.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. Mr. Pratt.
He's the new Robert Downey Jr. In some levels. You know, these guys. I mean, I don't know what his contract was, but you know, I'm sure it wasn't that lucrative. I don't know how many movies he signed on for, but
probably at least three.
Yeah, two Guardians like three, and Avengers part one of the Avengers threes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and it seems cool doing the movie. I mean, someone came up to me and said, "All right, Mike,
we'll give you $10
to be in this movie." I'd be like, "Fuck it, all right, yeah. It'd be awesome to play anybody."
Right, and they're gonna put their money where they know it deserves to be. Now you can say all you want about Robert Downey Jr.'s ridiculous contracts. But
without him,
there wouldn't be a cinematic universe.
It could have ended at Iron Man.
Yeah, it really could have.
It could have been. Brings, Nick Fury could have came out, and they could have been.
He brings everything that makes that franchise.
And people,
what it is.
People love him.
So,
are you still there?
I am. Do you guys hear me?
No.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll try to be loud. So this question is for. I'm going to start with Lucas because I feel bad. So, you know, both Marvel and DC announced these huge slate of films through 2020. How do you feel about knowing about all of these films so far in advance? And especially for Lucas, do you think this is almost too much superhero movies?
For the average Joe, I feel like it doesn't matter. You know, like I saw the announcement. I didn't particularly care. You know, I saw that they made an announcement that they announced all the upcoming titles, and I looked at it and I said, oh, okay. And I don't know what the titles are. As far as I know, everyone here has been making everything up. You know, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So I feel like for the average Joe, all they hear is, we're making movies through 2020 or whatever the date was. I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So
you bring a good perspective, Lucas.
Yeah, I feel like the it's average necessary. Consumer. Yeah, so like the average consumer is looking at this and they're going, "Cool, more Avengers movies, and we're gonna have more of them for like another 5 or 6 years." But nobody, I think, outside of comic book people, are. I don't want to use the word not excited because we are excited because people like Marvel movies.
They love them.
They love them. Like, yeah. even average Joes. Like, because I'm not an average Joe. Like, I have some...
Slightly above.
Right. I have some experience with comics. I've read Watchmen, and I've also read Civil War.
You're welcome.
So, you know, I'm slightly above that, but, like, I don't know. It seems to me like this was more for the comic book people, this announcement, rather than a generic movie announcement.
Right. Yeah, it was for the mainstream.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a generic.
Well, and because DC announced something similar.
Yeah.
So all they're trying to do is
blew them out of water again.
Yeah, is I can't understand why they're trying to destroy the DC films. Like,
yeah,
no,
I don't think it really competes.
Like,
anyway,
I know that they're like, they had competition in the past, but I feel like now it's not competition so much as it's just like separate universes. And yeah, I know the universes have interacted at some point. But yeah. So I hesitate to say why they would want to one up them. But I guess just to finish that up, it for me personally, it is a little overwhelming because now I know how many movies I have to go see in order to stay. Like, I still haven't seen Captain America 2. I haven't seen Iron Man 3.
Really,
I only
need to get
saw
on that.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Somewhat of my own free will, but mostly because somebody else wanted to go see it. So it's like a huge commitment now. So, like, now if I don't watch these movies, like, am I going to be behind?
Yes.
Oh, good.
You already are behind.
Yeah.
No, I know I'm behind.
At least they're 2-hour long movies. They're not like a video game franchise. You know, it's like
115 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that. Are you going to keep asking questions, Al?
No, actually. That's my last question, so we can just BS at this point. Just
keep going.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot.
Feels good, baby.
But, you know, these guys are excited, and I know they're all going to go see these movies, and I know I'm going to go see them because.
Probably love these DC movies.
Because they're gonna go drag me to all of them.
I just love comics in general. So.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's because
no matter what, I want to see Suicide Squad.
You look at this list, and it's just like, even the DC ones. You know, there's gonna be a few in there. They're gonna be pretty decent.
Yeah. So normal people, you know, come closer. You know, let's be real here. Let's burn down a little bit for a second. You all know, like, that one guy or, like, that group of people that, like, at a party, they all go off in the corner and they start talking about, like, Marvel movies or, like, comics or whatever. And you're friends with them. And, like, you have things in common with them and you hang out with them. But they have comics and you necessarily don't. So they're going to go see all these movies. And you, by extension, are going to go see all these movies.
And catch the buzz and want to go see.
And by you, I mean me. So yeah, we're going to go see all these films and we're going to enjoy them as films. But we're probably not going to appreciate the subtlety of, like, when you guys are talking about Phase 4, I didn't even know there was a Phase 4. You guys like Phase 4, and I'm like, no. Oh my god, I'm so far behind.
Not yet.
I don't even know why we're differentiating.
It has to happen. They're just going to end it after Phase 3.
Well, that's the thing. Like these. Yeah. The thing is, these comics have been going on since, what, the 50s? The 60s?
There is a list right here that goes till 2020. Look at it.
I think there's seven.
Well, seriously though, these comics have been going since the 50s, the 60s, the 70s.
Yeah.
So where do we stop?
Never.
Why wouldn't we?
Until there's nothing else to be told.
No, you can't not stop. You have to stop at a high point. If there's one thing we've learned from sports, movies, franchises, you have to stop at a high point. The Star Trek franchise, something that I'm
still
supremely qualified to talk about, has gone so far downhill in the last two films that I hesitate to even call them Star Trek movies. So there has to be a point where you say, you know what? It has to stop. We can't keep rebooting. We can't keep recasting. We can't keep dragging out the same plots and storylines. At a certain point, it has to stop. So, Al, if you don't mind, I'm going to usurp your power really quickly. For like a one last point.
Sure.
Comic book fans in the room. Where does it end?
It doesn't.
Not anytime soon.
It doesn't. It hasn't ended ever. It started in the 30s.
But it has to. It can't just keep going.
Why?
There's some things in this
world.
What
do you mean why? Because at a certain point Joss Whedon's gonna die.
No.
You can't keep having
no.
You can't keep having Joss Whedon direct the movies.
Here,
are we talking about movies or just
Well, no, I'm talking. I'm talking about like the cinematic, like movies.
Okay, I think
like the not just
too.
This universe, but I'm talking.
They've
like
kept some heroes relevant for 70 years in
because
comics.
Like Superman dies and he comes back to life. Captain America dies and he comes back to life. Like these characters come back and die. They die and they come back. They die, come back. But like you can't get away with that in movies with the general public.
Lucas,
you can't. And speaking as someone from the general public, you can't get away with some of the shit that gets pulled in the comics.
Lucas, trust me.
So where does it end?
Luke.
Comics never movies.
Sorry, Mike. Last year, Superman celebrated.
There's been dark times in the comics. Right? Yeah. Like, people think I remember Marvel was, you know, went out of business from like, you know,
terrible
from after World War II.
Disney bought them up too recently.
Yeah, and then when during the '90s, late '90s, there were bad financial times until they start licensing away their properties, and then you know ultimately they started getting big, and Disney bought them, and it's it's. That's what you got.
So
it's a special edition.
No, but you know, Marvel fucking owns everything now.
Fucking
like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Al, did you want to speak at all? Also?
Yeah, I did. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, Lucas, Superman celebrated 75 years last year. Batman 75 years this year. So, they've been around forever. And they're going to keep making stories because just like in comics, movies, they can always tell a new story with a new person, with a new character. You know, like Kennedy said, they've already rebooted the Spider-Man franchise. And it was such a small amount of time because they had to keep, in order to keep the rights of the character, they had to reboot him, you know, to keep the franchise going regardless. What I'm saying is, I think we're getting a big push because that's what's popular right now. We're getting all of these movies thrown at us because we're as fans, we're loving everything that's getting thrown at us mostly. So they can keep making stories as long as they're good. The reason that it's going to stop, and the only reason that it's going to stop, is people are going to say, "Well, I can't watch this Brett Ratner directed Punisher film because this fucking sucked." You know? So that's where we're going to draw the line, is when they're going to make a bad decision or a bad movie. Not saying that if they make Iron Man 5 without Robert Downey Jr., that it's going to be bad. What I'm saying is if they make a bad, you know, if films start, if they're, the quality of the films go down, then they're going to lose the fan base, the money, and everything that goes with it.
Right. It takes one jumping of the shark to really kind of. But like
exactly.
The thing about like with these characters is that I you know, you see them, the reason why they're popular now is because a lot of people in our generation, and obviously people that are a little older than us, you know, we read the comics, we grew up on the cartoons, you know, a lot of these characters we knew beforehand, you know what I mean, and we, you know, a lot of us still read the comics. You get the younger generation now, kids are growing up with these stuff, like with the movies. Many of them might not actually go and read comics. Kids don't read freaking anything today. Are you kidding me? It's my only concern is, will these characters, when written by the people that, you know, write these characters day in and day out for the comics, will that continue? You know what I mean? In the sense that, will it transcend to the point where, you know, the directors that are directing these movies, you know, will they have that kind of source material, or are they just going to rehash the same crap? They even do it in the comics. I mean, you're looking, I don't know what this thing they're doing at the Marvel Comics. They're doing all these, they're bringing back all these major, you know, story arcs. It's Civil War, Age of Apocalypse, Days of Future Past, you know, everything you can, every major event that's happened in the last 20 years, they're bringing back in some fashion next year for something. And that might be just whatever. But, like, even then, like, you know, they always kind of go back to the same kind of major story arcs, and they put a new, you know, wash of paint on it, and, you know, that's, oh, look, it's something new, but in the end, it's usually kind of the same thing. I mean, how many times are you going to do an Ultron storyline where it's him taking over the world, and yes, it's, you know, basically, you know, the post-apocalyptic Terminator or Matrix world? You know, they can freshen up a little bit, but it's, in the end, it's still the same thing, and, you know, this will more likely not be the last time we see Ultron in an Avengers movie. So, and it's just, you know, and Thanos and all this stuff. I mean, yeah, they got a lot of villains to go through, but, I mean, they're hitting heavy hitters right now. I mean, Ultron and then Thanos, I mean, you don't really get much bigger than that in the Avengers universe.
That is the one thing that that might show an insight, but like an end, is that they're doing Civil War and they're doing Infinity Wars in the same phase. Right. So they're kind of condensing. Civil War is a big event in the comics that leads to other stories, and they're kind of just using
watching over it, kind of
making it a small thing.
It seems like they're just trying to like create character.
Yeah,
character friction.
When that could be the phase after, you know, it would make more sense to me if that's the phase after Infinity Wars, not that this is just the movie. Captain America Civil War.
Right. I mean, I think the reason why they're doing it is so when they come back together in Infinity Wars, it's going to make that
more dramatic.
You know, return to their team, you know, assembling back together. When Captain America says, "Avengers assemble," and then Iron Man comes in after all they went through in the previous movie. People are like, "Oh shit, fucking back together!" You know what I mean? Like that's got a big impact, and
they probably want to get this out of the way too before Downey's done too.
Yeah, his turn, right? Especially with his screen presence. I think he makes.
How much longer is Samuel Jackson going to be doing Nick Fury? Too?
Yeah,
probably for
other things. That's probably why. I think that's why they kind of like, you know, like as you said, they cut over, they skipped a few steps. Right. Now they're doing this event that, you know, pretty much.
Yeah.
Is just been 10 years ago.
I know one of like the weird things is like the Skrulls are kind of like, I think they're Fox because of Fantastic Four, but they could be in the same category as the Maximoff twins where they're both. I'm not 100% sure with the legalization of that, but you do have the entire Skrull invasion storylines that were, you know, prevalent in the comics, which they could always do, but, you know, Lucas over here. I don't know. But let's get out of the geekiness and, you know, we'll keep it out of that and keep it to the actual movies themselves. And, yeah, as they stand, they
just shows that there's so much material. You can go on for days just talking about this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good. It's never going to end. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I almost feel bad for Lucas, but at the same time, this is what you get for not catching up with all this stuff.
I'm busy.
No, you're not. You work at ShopRite.
I'm the beer guy. You're not. I'm the busy beer guy. Drinking.
Shut up. But I just, before this goes any longer, we can talk about this for hours, and we're going to end up doing that anyway. But just to end the podcast on a high note, you know, it was great to have both Joe Kennedy and Mike Vitale. I can't believe I have both of you on a podcast. It's so weird. I mean,
back.
Kennedy, I can see. Mike, wow.
I'll be back for.
What were you going to say, Mike?
What would I be back for? Maybe the Batman trailer.
For the new Star Trek movie, you'll be back. No, so we can shit on it together.
And Terminator, maybe.
Where no man's gone before.
That's going to be awful.
Yeah, I'll be back for something. I don't know. Eventually. Next time Kennedy's back. Yeah. Promise.
Well, nevertheless, thank you guys so much, and thank you guys, you know, the listeners, for listening to us geek out about Marvel and drinking beer. I'm both a little drunk and half asleep. So thank you for listening to another episode of News Over Brews. Make sure to check out Behind the Brews. Our first episode is on YouTube, along with Loot Crate Unboxed. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our SoundCloud, and do all of that stuff, because we love you guys so much, and hopefully someone's listening out there.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't use the L word quite yet.
All right, we like you guys.
We're still feeling things out. We're not quite sure where we stand. You know, let's take this relationship one step at a time.
Yes, we like you guys a little bit.
You mean lesbian?
You know, yeah, we're in lesbian with you. Thanks for listening.
Oh my God. We're finally fucking done.
We need to do a sign-off.
We need to do a sign-off, dude.
That was a shitty sign-off. We had to do a sign-off.
All right, so let's go around, and I'll edit around it later. Mike, do your sign-off.
Right now?
Yes. I'm Mike Vitale, and I blah, 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 blah.
I'm Mike Vitale, and I'll be back.
I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'll probably also be back.
And I'm Joe Kennedy. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, probably won't be the last time I'm here. I don't know if you guys will enjoy that, but...
And I am Lucas Jones, and next week is going to be all about metal the Tenfitty Imperial Stout, and basically anything else I want to talk about after this monstrosity of a podcast, where I basically sat back and got drunk, which I'm not really complaining about. But, yeah.
Lucas, last thing. Did you know that next month, in a few days, celebrates our one-year anniversary of Nobbers?
Oh, that's no way. True. We are almost one year.
What was that? No way.
Yeah, we're one almost...
We started just before Thanksgiving.
Al says no way, but yeah, we started just before Thanksgiving. We're approaching our one-year anniversary as the Nob crew, as Nobbers.
How many viewers do you have increased?
It's 50? The Brew Crew.
60?
What was that, Al? It's the Brew Crew, not Nobbers.
Brew Crew. So we're 1 year as Nobbers. We'll probably do something fantastic to celebrate.
And hop each other's knob, probably.
Oh. I'll be on that.
All right, I'm going to stop that.
Can we be back immediately?
Hobgoblin.
That's it. Thank you.